Reprint 41, Zion's Watchtower, October 1879. The Two Adams by J.H. Payton. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. There is a similarity and yet a contrast between Adam and Christ. Both are first and therefore head of a race, but the first man is the head of an earthly race of beings, while the second man, Christ, the Lord from heaven, verse 47, is the head of a heavenly race. Natural and spiritual give the contrast between the two heads, as of the heads so of the descendants, each father imparting his own nature to his children. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Verse 48. One important element of our hope is a change from the first family to the second, from the lower to the higher, from the natural to the spiritual. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 49. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Who is the image of the invisible God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. The contrast between the two conditions is very great and clearly marked. Of the first, the following terms are characteristic: corruption, dishonor, weakness, natural body, living soul, earthly, and flesh and blood, on account of all which the first Adam and his children cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Of the second Adam and his family, the opposite terms are characteristic: incorruption, glory, power, spiritual body, spirit, from heaven and heavenly, on account of all which they are the rightful heirs of the kingdom of God. The change from the first to the second condition, or entrance into the higher life, is in the Bible called a birth, as the entrance into the natural life is also called a birth. Hence the significance of the statements of Christ: ye must be born again. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. The first Adam is termed flesh, human nature. And as the stream cannot rise higher than its source, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And as the stream can rise as high as the source, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 6. This entrance or birth into the spiritual life, in the case of these who are in Hades, the state of the dead, is at the resurrection. Those, however, who are prepared for it, who are alive and remain left over, emphatic diaglot, all shall have a corresponding change. For we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Compare 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 to 54. A mere resurrection, or living again, is not the birth, as all who die will live again, both the just and the unjust, while only those who have Christ formed in them, or are possessed of the Spirit of Christ, have any promise of a share in the higher life of the second Adam. Those who have the divine nature will have the divine form or image, as nature makes form. But while it is true that a mere resurrection is not the birth, God has arranged for Christ and the dead in Christ that the change shall take place at and by the resurrection. So also is the resurrection of the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42. Notice, it reads, of the dead, and not from the dead. Though it is speaking of Christians, as the context shows, and yet that resurrection makes them immortal. Paul, or the Spirit by him, anticipates ancient and modern investigations. But some will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Verse 35. If, as some assume, the dead means the wicked, then Paul's answer teaches universalism. We would not regret this if the Holy Spirit in Paul teaches it, but if, as again assumed, when the dead are raised, they are dead still, then the Holy Spirit in Paul contradicts himself, which is an absurdity, and therefore one or both of the assumptions referred to must be untrue. The bringing to life again of anyone, good or bad, is called raising the dead. And the fact is called the resurrection of the dead. How are the dead raised up? And so is the resurrection of the dead. Certainly refer to the saints. As Paul's answer to the above question shows, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not the body that shall be. Verses 36 and 37. Then follow the illustrations of the grain, birds, fishes, and stars, and then a direct answer to the question. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption, not raised incorruptible and changed afterward. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. This is as strong language as could be used in proof of the position we take, that the entrance of the sleeping saints upon the higher life is at and by the resurrection. We talk just as Paul does. Paul, in his defense, said he taught that there would be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Acts chapter 24, verse 15. And again, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. Chapter 23, verse 6. Paul preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Why should it be thought incredible with you that God should raise the dead? Acts chapter 26, verse 8. Paul witnessed that Christ should be the first that should rise from the dead. Verse 23. And this is the assurance unto all men, chapter 17, verse 31. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, verse 32. From the dead and of the dead are used almost interchangeably. He raises the dead once from the dead state. When Lazarus was brought back to life, he was raised from the dead, John chapter 12, verse 1. There is no reference here to immortality, but simply the fact that the dead Lazarus was restored to life. The Bible clearly teaches the resurrection of all from death, but whether the life gained is natural or spiritual depends upon the relation of the individual to Christ. In the sacrificial offering of the body of Christ, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, he was related to all, tasted death for every man. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, gave himself a ransom for all, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, and therefore will deliver all from the death of which they were afraid while they lived, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. But we should be careful not to confound Christ's sacrificial and redemptive work with his work as the second Adam, a quickening spirit. It is true that as Adam the first only gives natural life, so the second Adam gives only spiritual life. Adam was a figure or type of Christ. He was not the only type, but even if he were, Adam was Lord of all creation as well as the first and life-giver of the natural race. So Christ is more than head of the spiritual race. He is Lord of all, of heaven and earth, angels and men, dead and living. Christ is the antitype of a multitude of types besides Adam, and many point to his sacrificial and redemptive work, while Adam does not. He, the Lord Jesus Christ, must fulfill them all, And if this be remembered, there can be no difficulty in harmonizing the fact that Christ will destroy the devil and deliver the captives from the prison of death with the fact that he, as the second Adam, only gives spiritual life. Christ, at his resurrection, entered on the higher life and work of the second Adam as the life-giving spirit. He is the firstborn from the dead, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. When we enter the same condition, that is, our new birth, but the basis for that change or entrance into the higher life must be laid in the present life by the begetting of the Spirit, conversion. There are seven spirits of God, but the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of Christ, the anointed ones, must dwell in us, in order that our mortal bodies may be quickened. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, the old man, but after the Spirit, the new man, verse 1. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The terms Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ are thus used interchangeably, and the possession of it proves that the new work is begun in us, begotten of the Spirit. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the body dead because of sin, and the Spirit life because of righteousness, verses 9 through 10, is certainly a high state of Christian life. The divine nature possessed moves, controls, and quickens the mortal body here, and the work begun will be carried on by the same power until these vile bodies are changed to immortality. It seems as if no one who will carefully read the 8th of Romans would for a moment confound the indwelling Spirit of Christ with the mere exercise of power in restoring natural life to be changed afterward, or ignore the fact that the subject of the apostle is the power, process, and final completion of the new creation, which is the work of Christ as the second Adam, and that in this passage there is not a hint of bringing back into mortality and changing afterward. The two Adams are related to each other as natural and spiritual. The first was all natural and imparts the same. The antitype is spiritual. First the natural and afterward the spiritual shuts out the idea that the first had any element of the spiritual or what could have developed into it. God's plan of giving the spiritual is by the second Adam. I do not say that Adam did not have a spirit. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. But it was a human spirit, the spirit of a natural man. To say that it was an immortal spirit, or that it could have developed into immortality without the second Adam, is to say what the Bible does not say, and is therefore pure assumption. All that God gave Adam was lost under the curse. Dying thou shalt die. This was not an instantaneous work, but a process, as the words imply. And during that process, he produced a race of men like himself under the sentence of death. In Romans chapter 5, Paul declares that the atonement by Christ's death is what secures man's recovery from that condemnation. Reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and in Hebrews chapter 2, declares that he took the nature of man for that very purpose, so Christ's work is assuredly double. By the sacrifice he redeems the natural, and as the second Adam, he gives what man never had before, spiritual and immortal life. Let me have an interest in the second Adam by being partaker of his spirit, and I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Psalm 17, verse 15, by J. H. Payton. That was reprint 41, The Two Adams, by J. H. Payton.